I was influenced by my father and my mother, raised in country music, growing up in Slave Lake, Alberta.
Yes.
And my mother was a beautiful singer and still is, and my father played multiple instruments. And so I grew up in a musical family, and we always had music playing in our home.
Joining me at the Rio Theatre today is a very special guest, Lisa S. Johnson. She's an accomplished guitar photographer and author of the 108 Rockstar Guitars, and she's here today to talk about her second book, Immortal Axis, Guitars That Rock. You rock, Lisa. Thank you very much for being a guest on the show, and congratulations on your second book. But I want to talk about a little bit about your first book. It was your debut book, correct?
Yes, it was. Yes, it came out in fall of 2013, and it was my first book that took me 17 years to create, because I was working full-time for the Eastman Kodak Company, and then I opened two yoga studios in Las Vegas, so it was always something I did on the side. So finally it came out in fall of 2013, 108 Rockstar Guitars, and I'm a yoga teacher, and so the number 108 is a cosmic number in yoga philosophy, so I had to infuse that in there.
That's wonderful. So did your passion for photography come first before music?
No, it was music first. I was influenced by my father and my mother, raised in country music, growing up in Slave Lake, Alberta.
Yes.
And my mother was a beautiful singer and still is, and my father played multiple instruments. And so I grew up in a musical family, and we always had music playing in our home. And of course, my grade school, we got into rock and roll.
Yeah.
So we always listened to Fleetwood Mac and AC/DC and Van Halen and Alice Cooper and Kiss, and I always loved music, and especially classic rock. Mm. And then later in life, my father was also an amateur photographer, and when my parents were divorced, I was trying to find ways to kind of communicate with my dad and build a relationship with him, and it came through photography and music.
Oh, so you're both your passions, right?
And mm-hmm.
So country music, did you grow up on country music?
Yes, and Les Paul and Mary Ford, you know, the classics. And my mom used to sing Patsy Cline and Loretta Lynn and Tammy Wynette, and we all sang with her, you know, road trips on the gravel road, and we'd all be singing. And of course, we loved Merle Haggard and all the country greats, Willie Nelson. In fact, Willie's guitar is featured in, the trigger is featured in my first book, 108 Rockstar Guitars. And this book, Immortal Axis, I was so honored to be able to meet Merle Haggard in person and capture his Telecaster, his Tough Dog Telly. And after the show and capturing his guitar, I was in his trailer with him and his wife. And I said, "Hey, Merle, have you got a guitar pick? Can we trade guitar picks?" And he's like, "Sure, sure." And he's looking around for his little jar of guitar picks and couldn't find it. And I said, "Come on, Merle, you must have a pick in your pocket. Every guitar player does." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, sure, sure." So he stands up and he pulls out like five picks that were in his pocket from just being on stage. And he said, "Here, take one." So I got one of those picks, and I get to say I got to pick Merle Haggard's pocket.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, so does country music stir your emotions, or does music in general?
Music in general does, but I have to say that country music does stir my emotions more than the others, because my parents went through a divorce when I was very young. And of course, Loretta Lynn and Tammy Wynette, they were all singing heartbreak songs, and we used to cry, and I still do. So when I'm driving down the road, like Lucinda Williams' James Trussart guitar is featured in this book, and her album Car Wheels on a Gravel Road, it just, her songs just make me weep, because I grew up driving down gravel roads listening to country tunes that broke my heart.
Oh, wow. So why another book? What was the inspiration?
There's so many incredible guitars out there in the world. The wire and wood, the resonation that it has, the music has for all of us, creating the soundtracks of our lives and bringing back memories from our childhood and memories in the moment and, you know, things that take us to nirvana. The music stirs our soul, and everyone's already photographed the artists themselves performing or with their guitars. And I just thought, I just want to photograph their guitar, because I want to show people what they leave behind on it that personifies the artist without them having to even be in the photo, which is their sweat, the nicks, the scratches, the buckle rash, what's on the back of the guitar that people can't see because they never see the back when they're performing, or what they can see when they can't see it up close and personal like I do with my lens and my macro lens. I love to take really detailed photographs. Even luthiers that make guitars often send me messages and say, thank you so much for this book because I'm making a replica and I can get it perfectly with all this detail.
Yes, well, saying that, how much research was involved?
There's a lot of research that goes into it. Before I go to photograph the guitars, I research their guitars and what they're playing. Often I know what they're playing. I just want to know more because they custom make these guitars and they modify them, and how are they getting a certain sound? I mean, this is what Les Paul always used to say in his last book, was called Chasing Sound. Mm. You know, musicians chase sound and I chase light because I'm always trying to move around with the light when I'm photographing the guitars.
Yes.
But it's just a fascinating subject matter, and there are so many out there to get, and there's still more to get that I haven't captured yet. So
will there be another book?
Or? Well, tomorrow I'm doing my very first photo shoot in Vancouver at the Peony.
Nice.
Randy Bachman's long-lost Gretsch guitar.
Yes.
That was stolen from his hotel room 42 years ago.
Wow.
I interviewed him 2 years ago in Los Angeles when he was there on a tour for a new album, and we talked about this specific guitar. And as a result, a documentary is being made about his guitar that he got back. And
yes.
So tomorrow they'll be filming me photographing his guitar that he got back, and I'll be included in the documentary because it was based on the video, the interview that I did, that's on YouTube. You can research it, Randy Bachman, Lisa S. Johnson on YouTube, and you can see this hour-long interview with Randy, and he talks all about that guitar. And it's just an amazing story. It's one of the, this is the thing about guitars, is they hold these amazing stories. And like that guitar is now gonna be speaking to Randy through its strings of mysteries that he's never gonna really know where that guitar was for all those years.
Yes.
Until it finally landed it in another Japanese artist's hands in Japan. And this segues into Peter Frampton, because he wrote the foreword for this book, and his Black Beauty Les Paul, the original three pickup guitar that he had, was also thought to have perished in a plane crash. And 32 years later, he got it back too. So these guitars find their way back to their master.
Mm-hmm.
Their work's not done.
Yes.
So when they return back, it's really, really extra special.
Yes.
And cosmic.
Yes, and your book, I like you. Yeah, so
yeah.
Where did you do like the filming? Like, was it in Las Vegas or all over the world?
Yeah. This book was, many shots in here were done in Las Vegas, some were done in Nashville, Peter Frampton's studio. There's a couple images
it's
here
beautiful.
Right at the very beginning of Peter Frampton's guitar. And he still has the burned headstock that he wanted to leave that. He could have had that repaired, but he wanted the story of what happened to it, that it was in
yes.
a plane crash and there was burn marks on there, and the inlays fell out, and the back of the guitar. And this was photographed on this beautiful rug that he normally has the drum kit on in his studio. And here it is with its in his master's chamber in the recording studio with
wow.
the mixing board. So that was in Nashville, and this is Stephen Stills, photographed in Los Angeles, and here's Lucille. This is B.B. King's Lucille
wow.
with diamonds, and it has a diamond in the eye for Lucille and the eye in Gibson. And this was actually photographed in my home in Las Vegas. Patty King, his daughter, and I have become good friends over the years, and after B.B. passed, she brought his guitars over. Good old buddy Guy. This was photographed in Los Angeles at the Greek Theater, iconic theater. Such an incredible blues man. Here's the Lucinda Williams one I was talking about earlier, her James Troussart. And you can see a lot of wear and tear on this beautiful guitar. I always wanted to photograph the acoustic guitar that she writes
yes.
and records with. And this one she plays Buttercup on, which is my
Buttercup.
Favorite Lucinda Williams track. And Randy Rhodes, I mean, this was shot in L.A. at the Musonia School of Music, where Randy taught guitar lessons. His mother owned the music school. And on Thanksgiving Day, right after I'd photographed it, this guitar was stolen.
Oh, my goodness.
In 2016. 2018, and they just recently got it back, thank goodness.
Yeah.
But this was the first guitar that he learned how to play electric guitar on.
Yeah.
His mother forced him to play with these bands that she was teaching, like school bands, and Randy just wanted to play the electric guitar, and so his mom said, okay, if you do this training, you know, with these other musicians, then for 1 hour afterwards, you can play this guitar.
Aww.
Electric. And so that was his first electric guitar. You know, it goes on and on. I've photographed, this is Kurt Cobain's guitar that I shot in Seattle.
Yes.
At the Museum of Pop Culture. Dave Grohl's guitars in his studio in Los Angeles, his Trini Lopez's. This is Tony, George Harrison's guitar that was photographed in Indianapolis. It's currently owned by the Indianapolis Colts owner, Mr. Jim Irsay, and he was gracious enough to let me photograph George's guitar to finish off the Beatles story, because here is Paul McCartney's 1963 Hofner bass that he used throughout the entire Beatles career.
Wow.
And still plays. And I went to England and I photographed this in his recording studio. That's an old windmill that he turned into a recording studio. And then John Lennon, this is the guitar that he used for the bed-ins with Yoko Ono.
Yeah.
And the first one was in Montreal, and then the second one was in Amsterdam, and he made these little emojis and put the date in the city. And this was shot in New York City. So for the Beatles, I had to go to New York, London, and Indianapolis.
Oh my goodness. And is it, I mean, do you have a favorite guitar? Or are they all?
So tough. I mean, this Lennon one is pretty high up on the top. It's very difficult to get access to these guitars, and to be able to have this guitar of John Lennon's, and it's very close to my heart, because my mom, when I was 4 years old, she scraped up every bit of money she had to buy my dad this exact same guitar, because he was influenced by John Lennon, and we used to listen to John, you know, to the Beatles, Hey Jude, and I remember that, and riding in our Mustang on PCH in California, and my mom bought this very guitar for my dad, and I now have it in my collection.
That's beautiful.
And John had shaved it down. This guitar actually went through a lot of different iterations. It was once painted like super psychedelic, and then he shaved it off, and then he used it for the bed-in, and this is how it is today.
Wow. And I want to know, like, when you, like, the research, do you ever, people say, no, we'll do it later? Like,
I mean, there are... It's all a timing thing.
Mm.
I mean, if it works, great, and then sometimes they'll say, not this time, we just don't have the time capacity right now. So I ask again and again. I've had to be very tenacious over the years. It was very difficult to get access to Joan Jett's guitar, and I'm so happy I finally got her in there. I've got the three really leading ladies in rock in this book, which is Patti Quattro. She was number one. She was the first woman to break out and get a recording contract of her own as a solo artist. And she made it in the UK, you know, primarily in England, more so than in America. But she wrote the afterword for this book, and I have her bass featured in it. Joan Jett was second. So Joan Jett came out the gate, you know, rocking and rolling hardcore out of Detroit. Susie was from Detroit, too. And Leah Ford, I mean, she was in the Runaways with Joan Jett, and she's the queen of metal.
Yeah.
So I'm very honored to have these three women featured.
You're like a guitar historian. I mean, a third book for all, you know, but I wanted to know, like, is there like all different types of guitars, like, you know, bass, electric?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's primarily electric guitars, and there are a lot of acoustic guitars and acoustic electric, and there are bass players as well. I could do a separate book on bass. I just think that I've been advised over the years by my editor and publishers just to add the basses in with the guitars as well.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of creates a full story. Like, what's different about this book than from my first book is that there are full bands featured in this book, like the Beatles, Tesla, Iron Maiden, Metallica, Def Leppard. So when I had access to the whole band, then I shot all the instruments. So it just makes sense to have the basses in there with the rhythm guitar players and the lead guitar players too.
Yes, and Lisa, I love the cover.
Thank you.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, the cover is super cool.
Yes.
I work with an amazing designer, Nick Steinhardt. He has a company called N3. in Los Angeles, and he's just recently been hired to be the VP of design at Capitol Records in Los Angeles. So I'm like, Nick, you still have to design my books for me. So he's still my man. But yeah, my first book won the Silver Graphis Award, and it's registered in the Smithsonian Library, and we'll get this one registered too, I'm sure.
Oh my goodness.
But I like to put, I'm a yogi, so I like to put cosmic images that are infused with guitar motifs so that you kind of look like a kaleidoscopic image that you're walking by and you see on your coffee table, and you don't get bored by it because you keep looking at it and going, oh, there's something else. Look at that cool, you know, it's sparkling. And so in this book I have, as a yogi, it's the skull, which symbolizes life and death and rebirth. And then in this skull, in the forehead, is the Vesica Pisces sacred geometry, which is the symbol of creation. And this is my creation. And then in the eyes is the Gibson diamond inlay that's we've duplicated to make an eye. The nose has an upside down flying V. In the corners, there's a Telecaster, a Fender Telecaster. And then you can see a Gibson SG. And there's flying V's that go all around this too. And then there's just little flowers and things that kind of capture
beautiful.
Your eye.
And how many pages is it?
I forget 167?
There's
158 different artists featured, and there's over 400 images.
Oh,
so let's see, number of pages, 87, 88.
Because your first book is 108.
Yeah, the first book was 108 artists, and it was 396 pages.
Oh, wow.
So pages-wise, it's about the same. There are more artists featured in this one, though.
It's a great putting on a coffee table, and it's, as I said, you are a guitar historian. And, you know, where can people get a copy of the book?
Well, Amazon is just the easiest go-to, and it's got the best price. Mm-hmm. But bookstores are carrying it. Raincoast Books is the publishing company in Canada, and so they're busily getting it into all the bookstores right now. So I would call the bookstore first before heading down there, or just go to Amazon.ca. And if anyone wants a signed copy of the book, just send me a direct message on my Instagram, and I will send you a signed book plate.
Yes.
So it's a little sticker with a signature box, and it has the skull that's on the cover of the book on it. So it's pretty cool. And I'll send you one, sign it to you or whoever, and my name, and you just stick it inside your book. And you can go to my social media, Instagram, at LSJRockPhotos.
Yes. And what is next for you? I know you're doing this media tour, but
I'm photographing Randy Bachman's Gretsch tomorrow, and then I don't have any shoots scheduled, but I've got my eye on John Fogerty. I've had my eye on him for a very long time, and the timing has never worked with him, and he's doing residency in Las Vegas coming up, I believe, in November at the Wynn Hotel. So I just saw his publicist a couple months back, and she said, try me again. So that's what you got to do. You got to just try again, and I hope I will get access to him next time.
You never give up.
Never. Never, ever give up. That's what my yoga teacher taught me.
Yes,
so
combining fitness and music. And is there anything else you'd like to add?
Just thank you so much for your interest and for having me on. And I thank everybody for their interest in my work and material. It's been the ride of my life, getting access to all of these guitars and meeting so many of these incredible artists that have been the storybook of our life. So thank you.